Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
So I have the good fortune to be interviewing today Courtney. Courtney, thank you so much for agreeing to let us interview you for the Estate Planning Experts Program.
You're welcome.
Now, what inspired you to do what you do?
Well, I started in my career years and years ago at an international Big Four accounting firm, Big Eight at the time, and I worked on corporate engagements and over time requested and became interested in working with the executives of those corporations and began working with them from an income tax standpoint, and then worked with partners of mine who I was inspired by, who worked with these executives and business owners from a holistic standpoint, being able to provide not only income tax services but to look at their financial world as a whole. And from that, we did a great deal of estate planning and estate administration and just helping clients through that point, as well as from their income tax needs. And back then, the estate tax exemption was much lower than it is now. And the planning was a lot different than it is in the environment that we have today. But I was able to learn a lot from the people that I worked with and was very inspired also by my clients, many of whom I still work with today.
And how would, if you put 10 estate planning professionals in a room, they probably all might have different answers to this question. If a layperson were to ask you, what is estate planning, how would you answer that?
I would answer that in terms of looking at a client's wealth that they have built up over their years and evaluating with the client through a process of listening and dialogue what kind of legacy that client wants to leave. And that may include gifts to family members to help them fulfill their dreams. It also may involve philanthropic planning, and I have the good fortune of working with a lot of clients who are very generous, very benevolent, who have causes that are important to them, and through their estate planning and their lifetime planning are able to benefit those causes, and I get to play a part in that, a small part that I think is a meaningful part in helping a client fulfill their charitable dreams in structures that are appropriate to do so.
What do you like most about the work that you do?
My clients. I love the relationships that I've built with my clients and over time with their children, the next generation. And probably one of my favorite parts of my career has been working with clients from a philanthropic standpoint. I have so many clients who enjoy that part of their well to be able to give back. And so it really kind of starts with the client relationship and then those clients who especially have done some meaningful things in their communities. That's been very meaningful for me as well.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see clients making when it comes to planning their estate?
Mm-hmm. I'd say one of the biggest is failure to communicate. Both between spouses, I have worked with many widows who were not aware of their wealth, of their plans that had been put in place, And I think communication starts with the father and mother of a family between themselves. And even if that communication is, and in many cases it is, here's who to call. If something happens to me, here's who to call, who can help you, who does understand that which we have put in place and who can help you from here on out. I think that communication breakdown among families also I've seen lead to mistakes. I think when the family and the children are of age where it's appropriate to discuss the family's wealth and their objectives and their plans, I think that can make for a more meaningful family and better dynamics. And I've seen breakdowns in families and dysfunctional families where the communication and the trust has been eroded. I think I've also seen mistakes where a married couple wait too long. They wait too long to do planning because they're afraid of maybe letting go a little early and missing out on some opportunities that could have taken place had they done that a little earlier. But I've also seen on the flip side, children who have benefited from large amounts of wealth early in their lives and have not been able to be responsible with that wealth. And it's, in some cases, has limited their productive life potential, I think, in terms of being able to rely on the wealth that has been given to them instead of pursuing their own endeavors and finding purpose in life.
How do you help folks solve those problems or avoid those mistakes?
I think it all starts with two things. One is listening, and listening to clients. I think that's a big way that I help my clients with estate planning needs is I'm able to listen and not begin conversations with strategies, but to listen to what's important to them. And then to help communicate recommendations based on what I'm hearing from them, what's important. And one of those areas of discussion is around family communications and what can we do in terms of meeting with the family, helping provide discussion points for the family to open up these sometimes difficult conversations.
That makes a lot of sense. What estate planning concept do you wish more clients knew more about?
Mm-hmm. I would say when a client is evaluating their estate, there are really three beneficiaries of that estate. One is family. Two is charitable organizations, and three is the IRS. And the more thoughtful planning that can be done during a client's lifetime to better manage the flow of wealth to those three beneficiaries, I think the better. I think that the acknowledgement of this is the kind of wealth I have and this is where my assets will go, absent any planning, can raise awareness and raise the interest in planning to make sure the family is taken care of as well as other things that are important to the client. I also, you know, again, believe in clients realizing their dreams through giving back. And I think acknowledging that and taking steps to implement certain strategies is important. We can only do so much. The actual execution and implementation has got to be done to fulfill those plans.
I would agree with all of that. I think that makes total sense. I know you obviously have confidentiality policies in place to protect your clients. So without revealing any names, let's just call them Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Can you tell me a little bit about one of your more fascinating cases?
Let me think about that without giving away what could be, somewhat confidential, but I think I've had cases of families who have had unusual assets that they want to give away, and we've helped structure those. I think that can be interesting. I've had clients, interestingly, where the children in the family from the same parents have been the recipients of a great deal of wealth. I've seen them, children from the same parents, take completely different paths. And some of those paths have been damaging, both to themselves and to the relationships within the family. And some of those paths have been very successful. And I love, one thing I love about my career and the people that I've worked with is I love seeing people be able to, with the wealth that they're blessed with, to be able to make choices that otherwise may not have been able to be made without those resources. And wise choices, following their dreams of being able to, you know, work in a profession that may not be as highly paid, but something that is really meaningful to them, or to be able to offer a special needs child opportunities and comfort and protection that may not have been available without the wealth. So I think that's, you know, really what I would look at as some of the benefits of my career have been working with clients who have been able to use their blessings really in a very meaningful way.
Absolutely. Can you tell us a, for lack of a better term, a horror story of a client who didn't take your advice or didn't come to you when they should have, and what happened, without obviously revealing their identity?
Mm-hmm. We've had some clients that have come to us who have been misguided in planning, or maybe not planned at all, or maybe planned under former law where estate exemption rates, exclusion amounts, were much lower than they are now. And unknowingly, the plans that were put in place with some thought years ago, or maybe no planning at all had been done, led to tax consequences that were a surprise down the road, because a plan had not been reevaluated, a plan had not been implemented, and what may have been well-intentioned years ago under the current regime may have very, very adverse income tax or estate tax and or estate tax consequences as a result of either poor planning or no planning, or planning under a prior regime. So I've seen cases where it's just surprises are discovered later, and that's never a good thing in the world that I'm in. Nobody wants a surprise.
Absolutely. Who is an ideal client for you?
An ideal client for me is a client with a certain degree of complexity, some both from a family standpoint as well as their objectives. They have needs that are sophisticated enough to require some thoughtful planning and some thoughtful dialogue and ongoing continuing relationships with the family. It's not always about their amount of wealth, because a client with less wealth but some interesting needs may be a fabulous client for us. Some of my best clients have really given back in a very meaningful way to the community and have structures in place that we are privileged to be able to work with to see those dreams become reality. So I would say a client that is multifaceted, has a certain degree of complexity, interest, needs, requirements that involve and require the assistance of a CPA are really our ideal clients.
Okay, and what is the first step you would want for them to take?
I think there's no substitute for a face-to-face meeting. So the very first step, that's I think the most important step, is to listen, to dig deep into what's important to them. And for some clients, it's the first conversation formally that they have had in that space where they really have cause to think about what they want to do, what kind of legacy they want to leave. And so sometimes those conversations can be the most meaningful. And I don't think we can start any planning or recommendations without that initial dialogue, which takes place not always in just one meeting, but sometimes multiple meetings and sometimes with different family members as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about the firm that you work with?
I can. I'm with Wyndham Brannan. We are a local Atlanta-based firm, over 55 years old. We are about 150 folks strong, and I am a co-leader of our high net worth segment, which is a large segment in our firm. We built our practice on serving affluent Atlanta families and have grown from there into many segments and, serve a variety of clients really worldwide. I have clients not only in Atlanta but throughout the nation as well as overseas, clients that I'm able to serve from here and then am able to meet with periodically either there or here.
And what is the best contact information for you, for someone who's listening to this or reading to this and says, I want to talk to Courtney? How do they do that?
Direct phone or email, and both of those I can provide to you. I'm happy to receive any request or any call at any time.
Okay. Thank you so much. We are grateful to have you here as part of our Estate Planning Experts series, and we really appreciate you doing the interview.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.